620 CKRM is proud to be your voice for everything ag. Welcome to SaskAg Today with your host, Ryan Young.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to SaskAg Today. It's brought to you by Milligan Bio, the leading buyer of heated and damaged canola in Saskatchewan, wants to buy your seed. Visit MilliganBio.com. And brought to you by the Arcola Co-op. You're at home here on Highway 13 in Arcola. Lots of ground to cover on today's show. Stats Canada released its results from a survey regarding seeding intentions for this year. I spoke with Chief Agricultural Editor of SaskAgToday.com, Kevin Hirsch, about those results. Elsewhere, Adam Bacallo with PI Financial, I spoke with as well this morning to talk about the USDA report that was released on Friday. What that is, we'll find out later in the show. And it's also Ag Safety Week in Saskatchewan this week. Spoke with the Canadian Agricultural Safety Association about the week and what they have planned. The farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on the Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM. Up first is the Seeding Intentions Report.
This is Sask Ag Today with 620 CKRM Ag News Director, Ryan Young.
Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection, and Farm Fresh Water. To fix your water problems, visit farmfreshwater.ca. Statistics Canada released results of a survey asking what farmers intend to seed this season. The 2024 Seeding Intentions for Principal Field Crops surveyed 3,239 Saskatchewan farmers. Between December 14th to January 22nd, farmers plan on seeding more durum wheat, lentils, dry field peas, oats, and canary seed, but less canola, spring wheat, barley, mustard seed, and flaxseed. The Chief Agricultural Editor of SaskAgToday.com, Kevin Hirsch, reviewed the numbers and says Saskatchewan falls in line with the rest of the country for expected seeded acreage for most crops, except for lentils.
The acreage overall and in Saskatchewan is expected to go up, but the acreage is actually expected to go down a little bit in Alberta. And really, that's because Alberta is a more minor lentil producer, and they grow red lentils. And StatsCan didn't differentiate between greens and reds, but I think reds are certainly a lot lower price, and probably that's why those grown in Alberta will go down. Reds in Saskatchewan may go down as well, but greens will probably go up substantially.
Saskatchewan farmers plan on seeding 5.5% more lentils this year at 3.4 million acres. Seeded acres for spring wheat is expected to be down 3.1% to 8.9 million acres, but durum wheat is expected to go up 5.3% to 5.2 million acres.
That's exactly right, and I think that is a testament to neither one are all that attractive price-wise, but durum does have a strong price premium still over that of spring wheat. So that's why they're talking about a durum wheat acreage increase of 5.1%, while overall spring wheat is expected to decrease by 1.2%. So that does make sense when you look at this survey of farmer intentions.
Canola acres is expected to be down 4.9% at 11.8 million acres. Here are some of the other planting intentions. Barley drops slightly to 2.8 million acres. Dry peas is up 2.4% to 1.6 million acres. Flaxseed is down 19.3% to 418,500 acres. Mustard seed down 6.1% to 435,500 acres. And canary seed up 9.7% to 263,800 acres. Hirsch noted the data is subject to change due to farmers possibly making last-minute changes, but for him, these numbers don't change his plans.
I've pretty much got it cast in stone. It's changed a number of times, going strong on pulse acres and then a little bit of canary seed. I do worry minor acreage crops, when you see an acreage shift in them, you can go from boom to busts. So sometimes it maybe pays to go against what everybody else is doing, but that can also burn you. So it's a difficult thing. On a lot of crops, we aren't going to, what we, 3% or 5% one way or the other isn't going to change the world market. On a few crops like canary seed and mustard and green lentils, how much we produce here does really affect the overall price. So it is something to watch, but the acreage is one thing. We don't know what the production on that acreage is going to be. So pretty hard to make firm decisions based on what that might do in the marketplace.
Stats Canada will release its report on stocks of principal field crops on May 7th. Coming up next on the program, Adam Piccalo from PI Financial looked over the USDA report released on Friday. It was right around crop estimates and supply and demand estimates. We'll break it all down right after the break. Again, you're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM.
We're back with Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to the program. Not many surprises in the U.S. Department of Agriculture's monthly supply and demand estimates report released on Friday. Future commodity advisor with PI Financial Adam Piccalo read the entire report and had this to say.
To summarize it, a quick kind of the report reaction, there is really nothing controversial. That's kind of the best way to kind of put it. People won't really like the Brazil soy bean number, but the biggest thing kind of just looking at it is we did see on the soybean side to start, the data was mostly kind of neutral U.S. info with almost kind of no change from last month. But I would say it was actually a little bit bullish from the world info though. So world exports increased a couple percent. World stocks declined 1.5%. World soybean oil stocks declined 6%. So again, a little bit of a positive maybe spin kind of worldwide for that. On the corn side, again, kind of neutral info, I would say kind of for the most part, some good world info with world exports higher than 1%. World stocks were kind of lower by 1% as well too. And then lastly, for wheat, it was kind of a bit of a mixed bag. We did see a decent reaction from the futures market. And here this morning, we are up a little bit on the Minneapolis wheat front. But kind of one thing that I am watching when it comes to the soybean side of things, as of March 5th, money managers held a record net short in soybeans. So basically meaning funds are still betting that soybeans are going lower. So that surpasses the prior high set on May in 2019. So we have been seeing a 16th consecutive week of funds net selling in the soybean market. So that's kind of something that I have been kind of watching here as it relates to the canola market. However, now that we have been seeing maybe a little bit more on the positive technical side for canola and on the soybean oil side, palm oil going up, that's been actually positive for canola here in the kind of to start off the week.
So with hearing that, I guess if I'm a farmer listening to it, the fact that there really isn't anything too controversial, like you said, or any big swings or changes, it's pretty much status quo.
It definitely kind of seems like that. Again, kind of building off of what I mentioned about the kind of the record short on soybeans, but the world ending stock numbers were, I would say, somewhat positive just to kind of hear for kind of all grains, whether it's kind of corn, beans, or wheat. They were all kind of a little bit lower than the trade estimates. Again, U.S. numbers were pretty much in line with U.S. ending stocks, what traders kind of did come out with. So that's where I would say kind of overall, it wasn't a big market reaction. And however, it wasn't at least a negative report. So that's where we might potentially see some short covering maybe, or something like that, depending on maybe some of the weather that comes in here kind of in the springtime on maybe for canola, for wheat, that type of thing.
In previous years, Adam, around this time of year, is that usually kind of the trend where there really isn't a whole lot of big swings or anything like that?
I wouldn't say that necessarily, that there isn't big swings this time of year, because I think there could always be big swings in the markets. But one thing that I spoke about last week as well, too, is sometimes we do see a bit of a low in some of the grains, like, for example, canola here in the March time frame, as funds don't really want to be short kind of a market going into kind of the spring potential, you know, weather season. So that's something we often do see a bit of a low here in the March time frame, which is why I've been starting to kind of actually talk to clients about their new crop plans and, you know, maybe how to look at using options to protect on some rallies and things like that.
That's Adam Bacallo with PI Financial. Coming up next on Sask Ag Today is Ag Review with Doug Faulkner, followed by Precision Weather with Phil Spivak. Keep it tuned here to 620 CKRM. Sask Ag Today will return right after these messages.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Today's Ag Review with Doug Faulkner of GX94 is brought to you by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell, your locally owned Integra Tire dealers, and My Grain Exchange. Ready to market your 2023 crop? Head over to mygrainexchange.com and try their low-risk grain auctions.
15-20% of oat growers in Western Canada apply a plant growth regulator to their crops. That isn't an exact number, more of a ballpark estimate of how many farmers use Chlormaquat, which is branded as manipulator. That use has prompted two class action lawsuits in California against General Mills and Quaker Oats. The Cheerios case was filed in California on February 23rd, 3 days after Quaker Oats was hit with a lawsuit that alleged a number of its granola, oatmeal, and chewy products contained the same harmful pesticide. The lawsuits note that the amount of Chlormaquat found in oat food is 40 to 100 parts per billion, but the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has a maximum residue level of Chlormaquat in oats of 40,000 parts per billion. The levels detected in cereal and granola bars is not even close to the maximum residue level. According to a study released today, Alberta's ban on some renewable projects could hurt $11.1 billion in investments and stall up to 6.3 gigawatts of solar and wind power capacity. The new rules can potentially impact 42 projects valued at over $11 billion and several thousand jobs. Last month, Canada's main crude oil-producing province implemented a ban on renewable power projects that were to come on prime agricultural land, and also ordered creating buffer zones so that wind turbines do not spoil scenic views. The provincial government has, however, said exceptions would be made if developers can show crops or livestock can exist alongside the project. It also has said the rules are not a blanket ban on building on certain types of land. The ban has attracted criticisms from some local companies who have claimed the new rules would create business uncertainty and jeopardize billions in investments, threatening to move to other provinces or the U.S. However, it also has been characterized as putting agriculture first. CN and CPKC Rail supplied a combined 67% of hopper cars ordered in Grain Week 31, a notable deterioration from the 77% order fulfillment performance seen in Week 30. CN saw a slight decline in performance, while CPKC saw a considerable deterioration as compared to the prior week. In supplying 74% of cars ordered by shippers in Week 31, CN saw performance deteriorate from the 80% order fulfillment performance seen in Week 30. CN performance remains below the 90% performance threshold for the ninth consecutive week. CPKC performance declined considerably from the prior week, with the railway supplying 58% of shipper orders in Week 31, as compared to 73% in the prior week. CPKC performance remains below the 90% threshold for the seventh consecutive week. Tessa Ritter, who is Stakeholder Relations Manager with Viterra, has been elected Chair of the Canola Council of Canada's Board of Directors. Board elections were held Thursday at the Council's annual general meeting. Ritter takes over from Jennifer Marchand, who completed a two-year term as chair but remains as a director on the board. Chris Anderson of DL Seeds and Tyler Greneveld of Corteva Agriscience also joined the board. Outgoing members were David Kellner and Ryan McCann. And that's today's Ag Review. I'm Doug Faulkner.
It's your Sask Ag Today weather on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Precision Weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. I'm here with Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, looking at the forecast for today and beyond, it looks pretty good with some warm temperatures.
Yeah, temperatures each day this week should be above freezing. Already we're there today. No issue meeting our goal on today's forecast. The questionable days, the ones that will have the most challenge getting there, will be Wednesday and Thursday, each for its own reason. Wednesday because of some snow, and Thursday just because we'll be clearing out from that snow, but I think we'll at least get to freezing, if not above. Today, 4 degrees should do it, give or take a degree or so. We've come out of the morning around 3, 4, or 5 degrees this afternoon. The wind, mostly a gentle breeze, up to 30 at times, but more often than not, the wind's not too much of a factor. We may get another degree or so for the mid-afternoon, sort of a little bonus degree, and then down to -7 tonight with mainly clear sky. Tomorrow, the cloudiness thickens up. Not expecting any precipitation daytime. Watching the tail end of the day, there could be a sprinkle that develops. If it develops during the day, it could be a sprinkle. If it holds off until the more likely time, which we'll get, even if we do get those sprinkles, it's snow. So we could see a few light amounts of snow, maybe a centimeter or two through late Tuesday night and early Wednesday. Temperatures are back below freezing for us at night. And then during the day, Wednesday, we're back above, which means, well, a little melting and potentially some accumulation, all balancing out too. This is not a major event either way. The wind is also not a major factor, though it will be up a bit, 15 to 25, a few higher gusts as the system moves out. We're back to a partly to mostly sunny sky on Thursday at 1 and mostly sunny near 4 on Friday.
Thank you very much, Phil. The normal highs for this time of year, minus 1, normal lows, minus 13. Sun rose in Regina at 7:19 this morning, and the sun will set at 6:58 this evening. Taking a look around the province, it's pretty warm today. Assiniboia 7 degrees, Estevan 6, Moosomin and Swift Current 5, Saskatoon 1 degree, Yorkton and Melville 4, and Weyburn plus 6. The hot spot in the province is in Maple Creek at 9.2 degrees, and the cold spot in Stony Rapids at minus 6.5. In Regina, it's a mainly sunny sky, west wind at 25 kilometers an hour, humidity at 75%. Temperature 4 degrees or 39 Fahrenheit, and the barometric pressure is at 100.6 and rising. Down the road in Moose Jaw, also mainly sunny. West-southwest wind at 39 to 50 kilometers an hour. Temperature at 6 degrees. Again in Regina, sunny. West wind at 25, and the temperature 4 degrees. We're going to continue on the theme of weather, as I spoke with Environment Canada on the February weather statistics. Let's just say it kind of followed a similar trend to January. More on Sask Ag Today, right after this.
Catch up with all your ag news anytime at saskagtoday.com. Now, back to Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers, where you're guaranteed the best buying and selling experience. McDougallAuction.com. And Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. Much like January, February was warmer than normal, but had more precipitation. Meteorologist at Environment Canada, Natalie Hazel, says some areas got more than others.
Some of the places that we have precipitation data for, also quite dry in some places, although we do have Regina, which is surprisingly wet. So And Swift Current, too, actually is kind of wet. So a number of places, a lot of variability with the precipitation, I would say. It kind of depends where you are in the province. The place with the least precipitation compared to normal is Key Lake at 37%, which brings us to the seventh driest. And the place with the highest percentage compared to normal, as I was mentioning, is Regina at 165%. This is not record in any way. This is actually just the 36th wettest out of 136 years.
Regina recorded 15.5 millimeters of precipitation last month and Swift Current 13.3 millimeters, both above normal. Estevan, Moose Jaw, North Battleford, Saskatoon, and Yorkton also got more precipitation than normal, though it wasn't enough to crack the top 10 wettest months. Hazel says 2024 has been a weird year for precipitation.
A lot of times we've had precipitation and then it was either falling as rain, so it didn't really stick around for anyone, or if it snowed, then you know the very warm temperatures that we saw allowed this snow to melt, and then the space between weather events allowed the snow, if there was still snow, to sublimate. So on numerous occasions, we've just ended up with ice on the roads or no snow, no ice at all, repeatedly. So it's like this year we haven't really had a chance to accumulate a whole lot of snow from one month to the next, except maybe for in the southeastern corner, because there was that system that came through towards the end of February and then the beginning of March.
Many Environment Canada weather stations in Saskatchewan recorded temperatures above seasonal norms. Regina had a mean temperature of minus 7.5 degrees, 4.2 degrees warmer than normal, making it the ninth warmest month on record. Saskatoon was 3.7 degrees warmer than usual, Yorkton 4.7 degrees warmer, Prince Albert 5.1 degrees, North Battleford 3.6, and Swift Current 2.3 degrees warmer. You're listening to SaskAg today on the Voice of Saskatchewan 620 CKRN. Up next is Ag Safety Week. I spoke with Robin Anderson from the Canadian Agricultural Safety Association about the week and what they have planned, as it is always a good time to remind folks to stay safe, especially when farm equipment is out and about, whether on the grid road or here in Regina, whenever Canada's Farm Show is on, for example. You'll notice a lot of the farm equipment heading down the roads up to the venue. And so, yeah, it's always a good reminder to stay safe when equipment is around. Keep it tuned here to 620 CKRM. We'll be back right after this.
You're tuned in to SaskAg Today on your Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
This segment of SaskAg Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumberyard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. Seeding may be a few more months away in Saskatchewan, but now is a good time to raise awareness being safe on the farm. The Saskatchewan government declared this week Agriculture Safety Week as part of a national campaign of the same name. The Canadian Agriculture Safety Association is heavily involved in Ag Safety Week, and their Director of Programs and Communications, Robin Anderson, tells us what they're going to do.
Every year we put out a media kit, which folks are welcome to go and read and share and use. We also have resources that people can use and share as well on the website. The Ribbon Campaign is the biggest thing that we do throughout the country. We are small, not-for-profit, so we really depend on our partners on the ground to help with local events and local things. But folks can absolutely go online, order ribbons. The physical ribbons are free, and have them shipped out to them. And, you know, farm safety isn't just about 1 week. It's about all year round. So if there's clubs or organizations, events that would like to order some ribbons, please do so. We also have the online ribbon that people can share on social just to talk about why farm safety is important to them.
This year's theme is Your Farm, Your Family, Your Success. Safety is our heritage.
We know that most farms in Canada are family operations. You know, they can be corporations as well, but most are still owned by farm families. And that depends on, you know, being able to pass that farm down to the next generation. So having a safe farm ensures your heritage of the farm. We all know, unfortunately, that the death of the primary operator often leads to farms not being viable anymore, and they go under. So we want to make sure that everybody's safe on the farm. So that's a primary operator, farm families, farm kids, farm workers, and people in the community. Just to keep that those operations healthy, successful, and viable for the future.
She says farm safety isn't limited to farmers, as this week also applies to people living in more urban areas.
It's also about community members and the general public that might be out, that might encounter, you know, farm equipment on the roads, right? Taking our time, slowing down, you know, watching for those hazards, because it's up to all of us to ensure the safety of everybody on the roads and, you know, protecting those folks that work really, really hard to provide food for everybody.
And people can get involved with Ag Safety Week on social media.
Yeah, we love everybody to use the hashtag Farm Safety Every Day and join in that conversation about what you do to keep your farm, your family, and your community safe and healthy.
Information about farm safety, including access to the Farm Safety Guide, is available at saskatchewan.ca/farmsafety. Coming up next on the program, we have the market update and a look at grain prices at Viterra, as well as the livestock report. Keep it tuned here to 620 CKRM. We'll be back right after this.
Here's the market update with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Grain prices at Viterra were up in early trading today. Canola is up $8.20 to $574.22 a metric ton. Number one red spring wheat is up $3.09 at $304.74, and the rest were unchanged. Durum $398.40, feed barley $225.58, chickpeas $1168.44, flax $606.04, lentils $721.50, oats $275.32, yellow peas $437.98, and feed wheat $212.38. On the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, hard red spring wheat for May is up 1.5 cents at $6.57.5 a bushel. Coming up is the Livestock Report.
The SaskAg Today Livestock Reports on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn Livestock at 842-4574. Now here are the latest livestock quotes.
Heartland Livestock Market Report. It's Brett Jensen reporting from the Swift Current Yards. Last week we had 1,300 head-on offer, and here's how it went. Good cows traded from 140 to 174. The good kill bulls were 150 to 165. In our feeder cattle on Thursday, the five-weight steers were 394 to 449. The six-weights were 378 to 423. Seven-weight steers were 305 to 366. The eight-weight steers were 319 to 338. Nine-weight steers, good set of nine-weight steers on offer there. 320 to 322, right at 900 pounds there. Into the heifer trade, four-weight heifers, 405 to 421. Five-weight heifers, 363 to 412. Six-weight heifers, 330 to 357. The seven-weight heifers were 290 to 325. Folks, upcoming sales here this Thursday, the 14th of March at 1 o'clock p.m., we're going to have a bred cow sale with about 100 to 150 bred cows on offer. For further information, give us a call, 773-317. Canada's source for quality, Heartland Livestock and Swift Current.
The latest pork prices are at $196.93 per CKG. Coming up, the Resource Report.
It's the SaskAg Today Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Ryan Young.
Canada's ongoing pipeline shortage dilemma could become an issue again soon in spite of the anticipated opening this spring of the Trans Mountain Pipeline expansion. Canadian oil companies have struggled for years with depressed prices and restricted growth due to a lack of export pipeline space. The Trans Mountain expansion project, which should be complete soon, has been long anticipated because it will add 590,000 barrels per day of oil shipping capacity to the West Coast. But the project has seen countless construction challenges and delays, and in that time, Western Canadian oil companies have been ramping up production. Experts say Trans Mountain will, quickly reach capacity once the expansion opens, leaving oil companies short of export options again as early as 2026. That means while Canadian oil production is expected to hit an all-time high in 2024, the rapid pace of growth is unlikely to be sustained past 2025. On the markets, the TSX is down 1 point at 21,735. The Dow is up 19 points to 38,742. Oil is down 16 cents at $77.85 per barrel, and the Canadian dollar is at 74.20 cents US. And that's the resource report. If you missed any segment of the show, you can tune in to the on-demand Sask Ag Today podcast, which you can find on our website at saskagtoday.com and at 620ckrm.com. And that's going to do it for Monday's edition of Sask Ag Today. I'm Ryan Young. Have a nice day.
Thanks for tuning in to Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young. If you missed any of the broadcast, listen to our podcast on saskagtoday.com. Sask Ag Today, following the 12 o'clock news on your voice of everything ag. 620 CKRM.